community events. Community Radio is radio for the people, by the people. At KBOO, your neighbors, coworkers, and friends make radio so you can be sure that the issues they bring to you are the issues that matter. We believe strong communities invest in sharing knowledge with each other. Every month, KBOO offers free classes in the art of radio broadcasting so Portland can stay informed. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter. Gentlemen, today. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention please. Welcome to the greatest, the most spectacular show in entertainment history.
Welcome to the UBU Hour. Tonight we present our 15th year extravaganza. For 15 years, the UBU Hour has delighted KBOO audiences with wholesome and uplifting radio sketches, from comedies to suspense to political parodies to sci-fi to westerns and more.
Tonight we pay tribute to the UBU and we will listen to some of those golden moments from the past. And we have a special guest here tonight, the man who started it all, the man whose name is affixed to the show, Mr. UBU.
Come up to the mic, Mr. UBU.
Here I am, here I am. I haven't been here in years. It's great to be back. Good evening, everyone out there. Welcome to the show. For the next 3 hours, we will be celebrating 25 years of amazing UBU Radio Theater.
3 hours? I thought we were done at midnight.
Midnight? How can we celebrate the vast greatness of the show named after me in 1 hour?
Those are the rules, Mr. UBU.
Rules? This show is about breaking rules. By my green candle, I shit on the rules. This show isn't about rules. What have you people done to my show while I was away?
Never mind that. Let's listen to a piece that started this whole disaster, which aired during the Dada Fest in August 2001.
I might add, this is from Alfred Jarry's play, UBU Roy, The Inspiration, where it all began.
So, from the King's Palace to Scene 3 of Alfred Jarry's UBU Roy.
Yes, but money never! Slaughter three old mags, that's quite good enough for such scum!
Scum yourself! How much did a crummy creature as you ever get slapped together?
Do I have to repeat myself? I intend to get rich! I won't fuck over a penny!
Don't forget you hold all your hands, all the treasure of Poland!
Listen, old UBU, if you don't distribute some money, no one will want to pay their taxes.
Is that really true?
Yes, yes!
Oh, in that case, I agree to everything. Bring up 2 or 3 million gold pieces, roast 150 oxen, and the same number of sheep, and see that there's plenty left over for me.
Scene 2, the courtyard of the palace, full of people.
There's the king. Long live the king.
Hurrah! Here you catch. Don't thank me. All this throwing gold away is no pleasure to me at all. But my old woman insisted. At least promise you'll pay your taxes now.
Yes.
Just look, Madam UBU, how they are fighting over the gold. What a battle.
Perfectly dreadful. Oh, there's one who has had his skull bashed in.
What a beautiful sight. Bring up more chests of gold.
How about organizing a race?
Great idea. My friends, see this chest full of gold. It contains 300,000 rose nobles in gold, all genuine Polish coin of the realm. Those who want to run in the race go to the end of the courtyard. You start running when I wave my handkerchief, and the winner gets the chest. And for the losers, there's this second chest of gold to share out as a booby prize. Listen to them. One, two, three, are you ready?
The peasants begin to run, tripping and tumbling and falling over each other, cries and tumult.
And that one is coming around the outside, and number three is coming around the inside, and three, four, he's coming around, he's got the boot, and he's getting ahead of him, and he's in the lead, and he's going to down.
Long live Michael Federovich!
Long live Michael Federovich!
My friend, it's nothing. Take that chest home with you, Michael. And the rest of you share the other chest. Each take a gold piece until there are none left.
Live Michael Federovich!
Michael Federovich! Long live old Ubu!
All of you, my friends, come and dine with me. The gates of my palace are open. Can you today please honor me with your presence at table?
In we go! Long live old Ubu! Noblest of all monarchs!
Scene 3 inside the palace.
By my green candle! Behold me, monarch of this fair land. I already got that gutty from overeating, and soon they're gonna bring in my great bonnet.
What's it made of, my beloved lord and master? Because even though we are now king and queen, we still got to be economical.
Madam, my female, it's of sheepskin with a clasp and tie strings of
Dada. That sounds pretty good, but royalty's even better.
Yes. You were right as usual, Ma Ubu.
We owe a great debt of gratitude to the Duke of Lithuania.
Who's that?
Why, Captain Manure.
For heaven's sake, woman, don't even mention that slob to me. Now that I don't need him anymore, he can whistle for his dukedom because he certainly won't get it.
You're making a big mistake, old Ubu. He'll turn against you.
I should worry. As far as I'm concerned, he and Bugger Ass can go jump in a lake.
And you think you've heard the last of Bugger Ass?
Obviously. What harm do you think he can do to me, that little 14-year-old square?
Just you mark my words, Pa-Ubu. You should try to win over Boggerlass today.
More money to dish out? Not on your life! You've already made me pour at least 2 millions down the drain.
Have it your own way, old Ubu, but I warn you, he'll settle your hash.
Then you'll find yourself in the same stew pot with me.
For the last time, I warn you, young Boggerlass may very well carry the day. After all, he has justice on his side.
Oh, right! Isn't injustice just as good as justice? Ah, you're taking the piss out of me, madam! I'm gonna chop you into pieces!
Ma Ubu flees for her life, pursued by Pa Ubu.
Bring out the chest for nobles, and the boat hook for nobles, and the slasher for nobles, and the account book for nobles, and then bring in the nobles!
The nobles are brutally shoved in.
Restrain yourself, old Ubu.
My lords, I have the honor to inform you that as a gesture of the economical welfare of my kingdom, I have resolved to liquidate the entire nobility and confiscate their goods. Bring up the first noble and pass me the boat hook. Those who are condemned to death, I shall push through this trap door. They will fall down into the fleet keg chambers and will then proceed to the cash room where they will be debrained. What is your name, you slob?
I am the Count of Vitebsk.
What is your income?
$3,006,000.
Guilty!
Ubu pushes him down the hole with his hook.
Base brutality!
You! There, what's your name? Go on! Answer, you slob!
The Grand Duke of Posen!
Excellent, excellent! I could ask for better. Down the hatch! Next one, what's your name, ugly mug?
I am the Duke of Courland and the cities of Riga, Revel, and Mittau.
Very good indeed. Sure that's the lot?
That is all.
Down the hatch then. Number four, what's your name?
The Prince of Podalia.
Income?
I am bankrupt.
Take that for a spam. Now, get down the hatch. Your name, number five?
Margrave of Thorn, Count Palatine of Pollock.
That's not much. Is that all you are?
It's been good enough for me.
Well, it's better than nothing. Down the hatch. What's eating you, Ma Ubu?
You're too bloodthirsty, Ka-Ubu.
Bah, I'm getting rich. Now I'll have them read the list of what I've got. Registrar, read my list of my titles and possessions.
Count of Sandomir.
Begin with the princedom, stupid bugger.
Princedom of Podalia, Grand Duchy of Posen, yeah. Duchy of Courland, County of Sandomir, County of Vitebsk,
yeah.
County of Pollock, Margaret of Thorn.
Well, go on.
That's the lot.
What? What do you mean that's the lot? Oh, well then, forward all the nobles, and since I don't propose to stop getting richer, I shall execute them all and confiscate their revenue. Come on, down it! Hurry up! Faster! Faster! I'm going to make some laws next!
That'll be worth watching!
I'm going to make some laws! First of all, I shall reform the code of justice! Then we shall proceed to financial matters!
Oh, opposed!
He just can't do that!
Shit! Firstly, judges will no longer receive a salary!
What will we live on? We're poor men!
You can keep the fines you impose in the possessions of those you condemn to death!
Impeccable!
Utterly absurd!
We refuse to judge
under such circumstances!
Sound the hatch with the judges!
I'm too young to die!
Well, you'll see how well things will go.
Yeah, I'll be a right old mess.
Shut up, you gob clownish female. Gentlemen, we will proceed to financial matters.
There's no need to change anything.
How come? I wish to change everything, I do. To begin with, I intend to pocket half the tax receipts.
What a cheek!
Gentlemen, we shall establish a tax of 10% on all property, another on industry, and a third of 15 francs a head on all marriages and funerals.
But that's ridiculous, Paul.
You're making fun of me? Down the hatch!
Come, Lord Ubu! Kings aren't supposed to behave like that! You're butchering the whole world!
So? Shit!
No more justice! No more financial system!
Fear nothing, my sweet child! I'll go from village to village myself and collect the taxes!
Ubu enters the peasant's village. Ubu.
Which of you is the oldest? What is your name?
Stanislaus Lozinski.
Well then, horn strumpet, listen carefully or these gentlemen will extrude your nerials. Hey, listen, will ya?
Your Excellency hasn't said anything yet.
What? I've been talking for an hour. You think I came here simply to amuse myself with the echo of my own voice?
No thought could be farther from my mind, sire.
All right, then. I've come to tell you, order you, and inform you that you are to produce and display your ready cash immediately, or you'll be massacred. Come on in, my lords of finance, you sons of whores. Wheel in the financial wheelbarrow.
Sire, we're down on the register for only 152 Rix dollars, which we've already paid over 6 weeks ago come Michaelmas.
Well, maybe, well be so, but I've changed the government, and I've had it announced in the official gazette that all the present taxes have to be paid twice over, and all those I may think up later on will have to be paid three times over. With this system, I'll soon make a fortune, then I'll kill everybody in the world and go away. I couldn't care less. Hey,
Fork out!
Or I'll give you the works, good and proper. Torture, twisting of the neck, decapitation. Horse trumpet, am I or am I not your king?
Long live Bonner!
By the grace of the God,
Lithuania!
advance, gentlemen of the finances! Do your duty!
Ubu drives the peasants away from the village.
And that is where it began. Another year went by, and the Ubu Hour was born.
More like it was shot out of the airwaves. The first episode was a horrible sketch called Leave It to Weaver. It was based on this guy from Oregon City named Ward Weaver, who was in the news at the time.
So we did a show where we replaced Ward Cleaver with Ward Weaver. We thought it was kind of funny that the one who was named after a tool for butchering was this nice family man, whereas the one named after a harmless basket making, Weaver, was a serial killer.
Oh, yes. Leave It to Weaver. That one was hilariously funny. My guts split with laughter every time I listened to it.
So why don't we run a little bit of it?
Oh, no. Do we have to?
Maybe just a little of it.
It was kind of insensitive.
And now, we go to our feature presentation and all-original world premiere of the Ubu Theater Player family radio drama adaptation. Cleave it.
I mean, Weaver. Weave it to Weaver.
What in the hell is the title?
Use the real title?
What?
Why not?
Okay, so on our story begins in the dining room at the Cleaver's home, where Lloyd, June, Molly, and the Beef are eating dinner.
Did everyone have a nice day?
Did you hear what they found? They found another body this morning. All the kids at school are talking
not
about
correct,
it.
Beaver. They only found part of a body.
I think it's terrible. The serial killer on the loose. Murdering the sexual organs removed. That poor girl.
Well, maybe she asked for it, don't it?
Why? What? Dad, have you ever seen a dead person?
Well, son, not only have I...
Let's not talk about this at the table, please, Lord.
Why don't you kids run along so your mother and I can have a talk? Did you really want to play softball with you?
Beaver and Wally run out the door. June stares at Ward with a concerned look on her face. She is having trouble finding the right words to say to him. Wally, look at the synopsis of some of these shows.
Don't care.
Captain Jack.
The boys send away for a genuine Florida alligator and decide to keep it secretly in their bathroom. Eventually, it outgrows the bathroom and is moved to the basement where the boys charge entrance to the neighborhood kids for a quick peek. They name him after
the haircut. Beaver loses the haircut money that Ward gives him, so Beaver decides to lock himself in the bathroom and cut his own hair. The result is disastrous, and now Beaver and Wally have to figure out how to hide his new haircut from Ward and June until it grows out.
Beaver is sent over to the Donaldson's house to deliver flowers from June. While over there, Mrs. Donaldson kisses Beaver on the cheek.
Hey, little boy.
Wally and Eddie tell Beaver that.
That's enough! No more! Turn it off!
Hey, that was great! Let's hear more!
Believe me, it gets far worse. And that's how the show began. A truly offensive piece of supposedly Dada art.
An utterly reprehensible thing to air, especially on a community radio station. It's surprising they didn't ban the program after that.
It wasn't so bad, was it?
And that was the illustrious beginning of the show. Who knew we'd continue for 15 plus years, mostly in the same vein? This show has been a lurid cesspool of sex, violence, misogyny, and far more. The complaints we've received.
Who complained? Let me know who complained.
It wasn't all so bad, was it? There were a few moments of brilliance over the years.
Sure, that's why we're here to eulogize and celebrate the Ubu Hour.
Yes, celebrate the greatness of the show and the greatness of myself as well. Now, where's that producer?
Who?
You know, the one who's been ruining this show for the past 20 years, Ralph Simplebaum.
He's not here, but we have a recorded interview with him from earlier. Let's hear it now. The interview done earlier today with longtime producer of the Shubu Hour, Ralph Semprebon.
So, tonight's the last show.
Yeah, it was time to pull the plug.
You've been with the Ubu from the beginning.
This program was a big part of my life. I wrote a ton of scripts. It pretty much defined me.
And tonight is the last show.
Yeah, the last show. I won't be there. I don't even know if I can listen to it at home.
So this is just a publicity stunt, isn't it? This wouldn't be the first time it was announced. The UBU Hour was canceled, and then they have some fake show at the beginning.
Yeah, we did that a lot. The Tofu Hour, the Mime Show, an entire hour of listening to a mime troupe. I stole that from the puppets, actually. The show where the signal got hijacked by pirates on the Willamette.
The pirate radio. You even had spoofs like Piracy Now, which was a pirate version of Amy Goodman.
Yeah, there were some pretty good times. And now it's over.
Seriously? This isn't just a publicity stunt?
Yes, it's over. I'm done with it. Pulling the plug.
Come on, you can tell me off the record. Publicity stunt.
No, I'm serious.
I just don't believe you. After all these years, okay then, I'll play along. So why are you ending the show?
I needed to spend more time with my family.
Your family? Now I know you're messing with me, Mr. Semprebon. Your wife passed away a few months ago.
Yeah, that was a lame excuse, wasn't it?
It's been suggested that you're suffering from a midlife crisis.
Yeah, people like to talk behind one's back, don't they? There's no such thing as middle life crisis. Just a stupid excuse for middle-aged men to act like assholes, if you ask me.
Nothing like that, then. So why?
Do you really want me to tell you why I'm pulling the curtains on this whole mess?
Yes, I'm sure the listeners want to know.
This is why.
A cassette tape?
Yes. This tape has the answer.
Okay, let's give it a listen.
So yeah, let's put it in.
Whoa, you even produced it and everything.
I keep losing things. My internet crashed last October. My wife got sick and died. Her nephew, who was helping me take care of her in her illness, also helped himself to my record collection, taking vinyl and CDs to Millennium and every day for cash to buy booze and drugs. Some other stuff missing too. The pawn shop on Sandy. She couldn't get out of bed, needed someone there all the time, all hours of the day or night, and soon it was just me again. But now that nightmare was almost over. Sometimes I get depressed. Sometimes I think this is a chance for a new beginning, as I throw away more stuff, take another load to Tidal Wave or Goodwill. I am in an odd place between two lives and not really in any life at all. 25 years of one thing, and now something else. I'm not sure what it is. There's a homeless man I help out. He always needs more money to fix his phone. We met him in December. My wife and I were coming back from the hospital. It was the last time I had to get her up the stairs of the house, as the next day her sister was taking her up to Tacoma, where most of her family lived. We arrived to the house. She couldn't walk, just barely with a walker or canes, and even that was hard for her. Up the stairs. I couldn't get her up the front stairs, and this homeless man helped me. We gave him some hot soup afterward, talked a bit. He'd lost his wife to cancer. I gave him a 20, and he went on his way. The next time he came by, a few weeks later, she was gone. I helped him out a bit, gave him another 20. We both lost our wives to cancer, and he seems to think that makes us similar. But it's not what happens to one, it's how one reacts. When he lost his wife, he told me, he went into a coma for 5 months. He let his life completely fall apart with grief and become homeless. Me, I'm ready to move on. Sure, there's sadness, but I also feel an odd sense of freedom. Discard this identity and become something else. And then there's the show, this radio show I do. It had come to define my life beyond my home life, and yet it too had fallen apart, one disaster after another. A reading where no one shows up, another where the recording room was being used, being dragged in for complaints, being dragged in again for complaints. The same show, but I thought I'd fixed it up, but it wasn't enough. When I began the show, my intention was to produce a few radio plays every year, and then at other times, most of the times, play other stuff, pre-recorded radio plays and sound poetry and Dada, but instead, I was sucked into the vortex of Ubu. Recorded stuff every month, all that time it took to write scripts and record and edit. It can take up to 40 hours to produce 1 hour, and sometimes it was easier when other people had material. I was sucked into this vortex of deadline every month, juggling readings, trying to write stuff that had enough lines, never knowing whether two people would show up to read, or 15. It was madness. I obsessed over what I'd write the next month. Sometimes it was draining. For 15 years, I kept this madness going. Several times the show was almost taken off the air. The number of complaints it generated was astounding. The usual complaints of too much sex and violence and profanity, and other complaints as well. 10 years ago, one show was accused of creating a hostile environment at KABU for blind people and supporting vigilantism. A few shows had to be sent to the KABU lawyer to see if they constituted obscenity. We were put on probation for several months after airing a piece that attacked one of the staff at this radio station, and that one wasn't even written by me. The Ubu brought out the best of us and also the worst of us. The toxins of the bad continued to leach into the material. What one could get away with a few years ago, one cannot get away with now. Mistakes were made on all sides. I had to answer for things I couldn't answer for. Too many mistakes were made on my part. And a few mistakes on other people's parts too. And too many complaints from diverse communities. Too many lapses of judgment. To keep it going, conditions were made. I was an addict to the production of this show. So many times it ate up my life. Hours and hours for 3 or 4 days, toiling under deadline. With its death, I feel sad because it was such an important part of my life, but maybe it will be liberating too. Another piece of me to jettison into the past so that I can move into the future. Another loss to add up to the many others. The poison that doesn't kill you will only make you stronger. Maybe it's time to kill the Ubu Hour. Let's go back to the beginning. People are always asking me, what does Ubu mean? It comes from Ubu Roy, or King Ubu, a play written by Alfred Jarry in the 1890s. The title character, Pa Ubu, is a profane buffoon who somehow becomes the king of Poland. Ubu is greedy and violent and always bragging about his own greatness, even as he destroys the world around him to plunder the people he serves. According to Jane Taylor, the central character is notorious for its infantile engagement with his world. Ubu inhibits a domain of greedy self-gratification. Jari's metaphor for the modern man, he is an anti-hero, fat, ugly, vulgar, gluttonous, grandiose, dishonest, stupid, jejune, voracious, cruel, cowardly, and evil. Does that sound like someone else you know? How had I missed this in the last 2 years? Had anyone else noticed the similarities between Pa Ubu and Donald Trump? I went to the web, and there were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of articles comparing Trump to the main character of Ubu Roy, not to mention posters, cartoons, illustrations. In the last 2 years, dozens of new productions of this obscure play have been undertaken around the world, including several performed by marionettes like the original Ubu Roy. Some stick to the original script, while others, with titles of POTUS Drumpf and Ubu Trump, make the comparison more explicit. Me, I completely missed this comparison. I feel like such an idiot not to see it sooner. Why do we need Ubu when we've got a president who acts just like Ubu? There is no other character in literature that even comes close to exemplifying our current president. Trump and Pa Ubu are the same person. Here's a quote from an article, Trump as Ubu Roy, by Isaac Ariel Reed. Per Ubu is indeed like Trump in his contradictory assertions, combination of supreme verbal cruelty and self-regarding cowardice, imperious manner, and vulgar meditations on women. But what is perhaps more instructive is that the play as speech act did and still does. The first impression the main character makes is what Keith Beaumont calls Ubu's unashamed vulgarity. This taps into a kind of affection developed in the audience for Ubu's childlike nature, which in the modern world inclines the watcher to presume his innocence. Ubu, whose very name comes across as a babbling of syllables, demands what he demands in the moment. This is in fact the key to Ubu's comic appeal. The laziness in Ubu and his impulsive responses to situations are recognized by an audience as something to which all human beings are perhaps inclined. Ubu Roy was massively disruptive of the naturalism and realism of French theater of the 19th century. As such, it drew outrage from respectable people. What was then the French bourgeois and would be today the Clintonite, exceedingly well-educated professional. But it is also important to understand that the play was luminous in its disruption of the norms of settled middle-class life in a complicated way. As Beaumont makes clear in his study, Ubu Roy is not a straight satire of bourgeois existence. Neither is Trump. If he were, he would not have found so many suburban voters on his side. So why do we need Ubu when we have Trump? It was time to end the show. Tonight will be the final Ubu hour. After this, the show will be no more. The show is kaput. I'm a survivor, walking away from more carnage of my recent past. I look back at burning wreckage, but I have to move on and hope I don't get pulled further into the downward spiral of loss and madness, where one domino pulls down the next. One needs to cut the line before one is pulled deeper into the vortex. Tonight, at midnight, the Ubu hour will end. It is over and done with.
What's that he said? The final show?
What does he mean?
This is the last show, Mr. Ubu. After this, no more.
Hornswoggle! They can't end this show!
Yes, it's over. The show is the last time the Ubu will air.
No! No one told me! By my green candle, how can they do this to us?
They can do this to us. Maybe we did this to ourselves. Maybe if you spent more time cultivating the show, Mr. Ubu.
Yeah, like that would help.
No! But this is my show, named after me! Damn that producer, Ralph Simplebaum. I knew he'd fuck it up. This is all his fault. I want my show back. They can't do this to me. The nerve.
Please, Mr. Ubu, don't get upset. We're on the air.
We'd better run some more clips while we try to calm down Mr. Ubu, who apparently hadn't been informed that this program was the Ubu Hour finale.
Yes, my friend, I am here to bring you great news. You have just tuned into the adventures of the Capitalist Manifesto. Thrilled to the exploits of King and his pals as they romp their way to imperial conquest over the entire globe.
This is a dangerous world. A world of madmen and uncertainty and potential mental losses.
Meet leader Twat's all-star cast of cronies, henchmen, and psychophants.
Remy Don, drunk on the blood of young boys with that insane gaze in his eyes.
Askoff, white-caped crusader, defending justice and morality against the great land with an iron fist.
Condescension Rise, mimicking voice piece to sugarcoat the imperial dictates for consumption by the brainwashed masses.
And insidiously sinister, Janie Dick, who hides deep in the lair of his shadow bunker, pulling hidden strings.
Whoa there! Y'all ready for the attack? You got something to say, Sheriff Stetson, to bolster up our morals?
The success of our cause will depend on you.
Fight and win the war on terror. Yet we understand our special calling. We are dealing with these thugs.
And we will prevail.
Okay, posse, charge!
Charge!
And there they go!
Look at him ride. We'll empty all the villages in the valleys and up on the hill.
We have the terrorists on the run. We're keeping them on the run.
I reckon they got no match for our posse and weaponry.
Fight and win the war on terror. The cause we serve is right because it is the cause of power, wonder-working power. The cause we serve is right because it is the cause of that greater power who guides the unfolding of the years. The cause we serve is right because it is the cause in our power and our interests, the designs of evil men with great potential wealth.
Looky there. Those boys down there got all shot the hell up to rid the valley of them godless heathens. And we sit back and just watch them from the hillside.
I don't understand why we is emptying the people out of that valley, Sheriff Stetson.
Permit the triumph of violence in the affairs of men. The ideology of power and domination has appeared again, and it is right. $400 billion, 3 or 5 or 7 years from now.
But why? I don't understand.
But why? But why?
Cannot.
But why?
Drawing up more ambitious plans. 3 or 5 or 7 years from now, $400 billion.
Huh? Did you say $400,000?
More than that, my friend. Once our fellers take over that valley, there's gold down there.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes. They will control, and they will own. $400 billion. 3 or 5 or 7 years from now.
Cannot.
And it is right.
The empty valley will be ripe for our plunder. When our rich sponsors are done, it'll be environmental ruin and waste and no game or clean water or arable land for dozens of miles around. The village will be nothing but a toxic ghost town.
Okay.
Studio One, you hear me? You're about to go on live. Look alive.
Is everybody here yet?
Studio One, you're about to go on.
Not everybody is here yet.
Can you guys hear me?
Hello?
Turn up your headphones.
Come on, we gotta get this going. Let's get this together.
Hello.
Is this on?
Okay, we're gonna go to Studio Two. Studio Two, are you waking there?
Check.
Oh, yes. Okay, are we on the air? Yes, I believe we are.
My headphones still aren't working.
We are live here in KBOO Studio 3. This is one of the most exciting projects that the UBU Hour has undertaken, a live radio theater variety show with almost 91 actors.
90.7 actors, to be exact. And to pull off this epic production, we've got people in all three of KBOO Studios. In the air room, the production rooms, the newsrooms.
Plus a live studio audience.
We've got the whole building mic'd, every place, every piece of electronics requisitioned as we attempt to pull off this historic event.
It's too bad no one has any scripts to read. Is Joseph photocopying those scripts?
Coming up in the next exciting hour, we've got surreal radio theater. We've got the UBU Hour Poetry Corner. We've got excitement and drama. We've got
complete fucking chaos. Does anyone here know what's going on?
Before we actually begin tonight's radio theater entertainment, we need to inform you that you are listening to the radio after 10 p.m.
Unless you're listening on the internet.
And the rules on indecency are more relaxed. A safe harbor exists. Isn't that correct, FCC agent?
No, of course not.
Such a safe harbor does exist. What of it?
Wow, that's great. That means we don't have to worry about some four-letter word accidentally slipping in.
This is excellent. We can hear anything we want. We're totally free because we're not on before 10 p.m.
No, you are not. Obscene material is not allowed over the airwaves at any time. Not after 10 p.m., not after midnight, not even in the wee hours between 2:30 and 4 a.m.
That's right. No indecency allowed. Never.
So indecency is not allowed?
Of course not. Profanity may be okay, but...
Actually, indecency is allowed, but not obscenity.
I thought it was the other way around.
So our radio theater show can be obscene, but not indecent? Is that how it goes?
That's right.
No, no, no. It can be indecent, but not obscene.
Yes. Indecency is acceptable, I suppose. But absolutely no obscene material at any time.
But something indecent is also obscene, isn't it?
Obscene, indecent, what's the difference?
Let's ask the robot dictionary to help us out.
Indecent, adjective, morally offensive, obscene.
That's a big help. Why don't you try obscene?
Obscene, adjective, offensive to prevailing notions of decency, lewd, disgusting, repulsive.
So you see, there is a difference. Something that's obscene is offensive to notions of decency.
In other words, obscenity is the opposite of decency? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's right. Obscenity is the opposite of decency, whereas indecency is...
The opposite of decency?
Obscenity is offensive, whereas indecency is not. Obscenity is improper and unseemly, which is why...
Indecency, adjective, unseemly, improper, morally offensive, obscene.
It just told us that indecency is improper and unseemly, and all those things you claim are obscene.
So what the fuck is the difference?
Watch the profanity.
Your robot doesn't understand. One is worse than the other. Obscenity might be okay at certain times, but indecency is never, ever allowed over the public airwaves.
Indecency is morally offensive, whereas obscenity is offensive, whether morally or not.
In other words, if it's offensive to amoral people, it's obscenity. But if it's offensive to moral people, it's indecency, but not obscenity?
That's it. That's absolutely right. We don't care about what's offensive to amoral people. They can be offended all they want. That's why we don't ban obscenity completely from the airwaves. It's the moral people that...
No! You've got it all wrong! We do ban obscenity completely. Indecency is the one that's okay late at night.
Are you sure? I thought it was the other way around. I'd better double check with the employee handbook.
You still haven't told us what the difference is between the two. They mean almost the same thing.
That's right.
Well, yes, I suppose you're right. I guess to be on the safe side, you'll have to refrain from either one.
That doesn't help at all. What about profanity?
We can air profanities, isn't that right? After 10 p.m., we are allowed to use those four-letter words?
Yeah, isn't that right?
Can we or can't we use profanity over the air late at night? Is it acceptable?
Well, yes, profanity might be acceptable.
Profanity is okay, but not when used excessively or gratuitously, and only after 10 p.m.
That's right. Only so much profanity allowed.
Does that mean we can use profanity so many times an hour? How many profane words are allowed?
Is there a quota on the number of times we can use words like fuck, shit, and cocksucker?
Careful with the language.
Perhaps each word has its own quota, like shit is allowed 7 times every half hour, but fuck is only allowed 4 times. Cunt can be used twice.
And cocksucker and motherfucker can only be spoken once every hour.
Cut that out. You mustn't use those words indiscriminately and gratuitously.
We're not. We're merely asking you for clarification so that we can put on a proper show.
So, FCC people, what are the rules, huh?
There are no rules like that. You simply have to make sure you don't use those vile words excessively.
And you can never use any of those words before 10 p.m. Never, ever, because they are indecent and obscene.
What are those words? Isn't there 7 of them?
Yes, the 7 deadly words. Where the hell is George Carlin when you need him?
Can you FCC people tell us those words?
No, we cannot.
Do you even know what the 7 words are?
Of course we do. Every FCC agent learns the 7 words in Censorship 101.
Actually, there are now more than 7.
Then why can't you tell us what they are?
Because we cannot speak such filth. Especially not over the airwaves.
Then how are we going to know what they are so that we can avoid them?
I'm sure your polluted vocabulary includes the 7 words, but you will not get us to utter them.
Fuck is one, obviously. Shit is another, right?
We can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yes, that's 2 of them.
Cunt? Asshole?
Asshole is not one of the 7 deadly words. It's merely one of the many lesser venal words.
Piss is one of them too, isn't it?
No way. People say pissed off on the radio a lot.
Because pissed off is just being angry, but without the off, it's an act of urinating, and any natural bodily function is somehow a big no-no, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So we've got fuck, shit, piss, cunt, and 3 more. Come on, everyone, we can come up with the others.
Cocksucker.
Motherfucker.
And there's 1 more.
What? Motherfucker doesn't count. If you can't say fuck, then that already means you can't say motherfucker. It's a redundancy for motherfucker to be on the list.
Well, tough. It's on the list. Now stop using it.
You've got a point there. If motherfucker is a different word than fuck, then what about other words with fucker, like buttfucker or headfucker or fucker or
Please refrain from excess profanity.
Do you see our point? If the MF word is specifically banned, then that means these other words might be okay, or the MF would not be on the mofoing list.
We still haven't come up with a seventh word. I think it's tits or boobs or some word for breasts.
No, it's some word for male genitalia. If cunt is one, then some word for penis must be on there as well.
You boob! It's some far more vile word that you don't even know. It's a word that would disgust us all if any one of us spoke it.
It's a word so bad that we've erased it from our memories. A word so repulsive that we can only sense its vile stench from the dark blackness of our subconscious.
A hideous, terrible word that if one of us even begins to make the sounds of it, it would cause half the listeners out there in Radioland to blush or faint or vomit or maybe, I don't know, cut me off anytime.
A word so repulsive that listeners who've never heard the dirtiest word would be wise to turn off their radios now. A word so repulsive that listeners who've never heard the dirtiest word would be wise to turn off their radios now before that word falls from someone's lips, slips out of the radio set, and penetrates the listener's virgin ears.
A word so vile that by its very utterance, lips wilt and dry up. A word that sends shocks of filth and depredation up and down your spine. A word so profane and dirty that it is kept secret from most people.
Of course, a chance utterance of this most terrible of the seven words will lead the unsuspecting victim to a life of drugs, crime, and sexual debasement.
If heard, the evil word will echo through your mind, spreading seeds of perversion that will fill every ounce of your thoughts with lewdness and depravity for the rest of your days. You will never sleep well again.
Whoa, does such a word really exist?
If any of you know that word, you must not speak it over the air, or you will be killed immediately. That word is never ever to be spoken over the air.
Then it's true? Such a word does exist?
Of course it exists. We've been trying to prevent it from being known that it does exist.
It would be better to smash my eardrums than to chance hearing it in my ears.
That would do no good. You'd still see their lips move and form the terrible word. You'd have to blind yourself as well to protect yourself. And even then, you'd still feel the spray of spittle as the word is spoken.
There's no safety at all from it, is there?
No, none at all. That's why death to anyone who speaks it. You've all been warned.
By my green candle, you can't do this to me. This is all I have. The haters want to laugh on my grave. Damn all of you for letting this happen. For years they wanted to dance on the dead corpse of the Ubu Hour, and now they can gloat and laugh and dance.
We still can't get Mr. Ubu calmed down.
Just run the rest of the damn interview.
Here's more of the interview with the executive producer of the Ubu Hour, Rolf Semprebon, done earlier today.
I can't be there. I just don't know why this has happened. I feel like too many things are hitting me at once. I just want to do something different. I didn't mean to hurt anyone.
It's okay. There. It's not the end of the world.
Please. Please take that off. I don't want you to air that.
Of course I won't air it.
You won't?
We do have some ethics here, despite what some would have one believe. So, are you going to listen to the show tonight?
I don't know. I don't know if I can listen. Maybe I'll just listen to it later in the week and the podcast.
Yeah, if it doesn't get deleted.
Yeah, that's happened too. Put a lot of time into nothing.
That whole episode with the Rocket Man, please, must have left you bitter.
I don't want to talk about it. I guess it was the camel that broke the straw's back, or shit, I don't know. Maybe take that out of the interview, too.
Yes, of course, Mr. Semprebon. You can trust me.
The Ubu did go too far too many times. It's surprising it wasn't canceled years ago.
It had a really good run. Look at how many other shows got their start with the Ubu Hour. Holy Crowley, Subintellect, The Puppet Radio. Your readings were open to anyone. You thought of the Ubu as a collective.
Yeah, I wanted it to be a collective. I'd run almost any script by anyone. But really, it all came back to me.
So your radio theater career is over.
No, I'll still do radio theater now and then. It's not like I'm dead. It's probably right that the Ubu goes. It lacked emotional maturity, one of the core values of the radio station. On the other hand, one hopes that raw creative programming doesn't become too straitjacketed by fear of causing offense to any marginalized group. On the other hand, some of the best art is created out of restrictions, whether financial or otherwise, as one is challenged to find a new path. At any rate, I hope it's replaced by something good and local.
This has been an interview with longtime producer and head writer of the Ubu Hour, Rolf Semprebon.
No! We won't shut up! They can't do this to us! Ubu is forever! The show will not go away! They can't destroy us like this!
Oh, no! He's destroying the studio with his rage!
Fuck! What the fuck is going on?
Get a grip, Mr. Ubu! It has to come to an end! The Ubu Hour is dead! The Ubu Hour is no more! Help!
Duck!
Run for cover! Ah! Help! Oh no! Everything's crashing around us! All great things must pass, come to a pass, Mr. Ubu!
They'll no longer have the Ubu to kick around anymore! But it makes me so mad!
Ah! Help!
The whole damn building's falling apart!
The show is dying!
Better I go out with a bang than to just fade away into obscurity!
And now that has ended, after a 15-year reign of terror on the airwaves of KABU Radio, this has been the UBU Hour. We will not be on next month. We will not be on the month after that either. We hope you enjoyed this show, and you can always listen to this and earlier UBU Hours at kboo.fm/UBU Hour.
When we are given the opportunity to share our stories,
opinions,
thoughts,
and ideas in a meaningful manner with each other over the airwaves,
not only does it increase our collective knowledge of what it means to be human,
but our stories also have potential to influence the public dialogue.
This is the power of KABU.
You help expand the conversation.
Invest in future media makers.
And join us on Kickstarter today.
Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KABU.
Support our beloved KABU. Why? Because for 50 years, KABU has stood by us, helped lift us up, give us a voice, amplified our voice. They have been beside us through thick and thin, through good times and not so good times. In short, they have been beside us as we have lived our lives. That is community radio. In truth, KABU is really us, all of us. Whether you donate $5 a year or $5,000, or just listen, KABU is a collective community fabric woven together. It's something to celebrate, to treasure, not just this year, but every year. It's something that every community deserves to have. Invest in the future by supporting us on Kickstarter today. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter, and thank you for your support of KABU.
KBOO Portland.